TNF Soundings. Features from across the UK.
Hello, this is Tim Pennick with the latest of our interviews with experts. Jenny Molyneux is an ECLO, that's an Eye Clinic Liaison Officer. Here she describes her job, the support offered by her and her colleagues, and her own experience of coming to terms with sight loss.
So an Eye Clinic Liaison Officer, if you will, is the middleman between the patient and the clinician. So we are based within Eye Clinics. So I work within East Lancashire Health Trust. So although I work for the RNIB, our service is commissioned by East Lancashire Health Trust. So I cover all the ophthalmology department within East Lancashire, but my main sort of operating stations, if you will, are the Royal Blackburn Hospital and Burnley General Hospital. First and foremost, the Eye Clinic Liaison Officer is there to give emotional and practical support to anybody who is experiencing sight loss, and that's the patient, but also their family members or carers, to ensure that they've got access to all the information. So we're like a one-stop shop, really, for everything. We can coordinate referrals to external organisations and services to make sure that that patient can be as independent as they possibly can, but it's making sure that, you know, they've got access to as much information and that they're, you know, they can carry on. Although, yes, they're adapting to their sight loss, and that can be, some people adapt to it really quickly, some people really struggle, and it's my job to make sure that, you know, that everybody has access to the services they need at the point of when they need them.
Absolutely. So what attracted you to the job in the first place?
So I am registered severely sight impaired. I have a degenerative genetic condition called reverse retinitis pigmentosa. So whereas an RP starts with your peripheral vision and moves into the centre, my condition started, manifested itself a little bit like a macular degeneration, in the sense that it was my central vision that started to go distorted, and that has over time progressively moved out into my peripheral vision. So I was misdiagnosed at the age of 7 of having dyslexia, because I was saying that the words were going fuzzy on the page and I was struggling to read sort of smaller text. I was actually diagnosed, statemented, went through all my education up to the age of 19 with a statement saying I had dyslexia, and it was only when I'd sort of gone to an eye test that it had been picked up that actually there's something not quite right. Went through, referred to the eye hospital, was doing, learning to drive. This is the scary bit.
Oh, yeah.
You know, learning to drive. I was heading towards my driving test. I couldn't see the number plates. Well, I couldn't read the number plates. Shall I rephrase that? I couldn't read number plates, which is what prompted me to go and have the eye test in the first place. And then the day before my driving test, I got an appointment to the hospital to see the consultant ophthalmologist. I was sat in the waiting room with my dad, going through my stopping distances and making sure dad had my highway code and was testing me. Obviously did the Snellen chart eye test, sat in front of the consultant, and he said, "Jenny, you won't be doing your driving test tomorrow because I'm registering you partially sighted today." And my whole world just turned upside down. The next 2 years, from the age of 19 to 21, I was referred to Manchester Eye Hospital, where I undergo numerous amounts of tests, genetic tests and, you know, electronic diagnosis tests. And that's when they discovered that I had this genetic condition called reverse RP. And at 21 was then registered as severely sighted impaired. So at that point, I had no access. There was no support. I really, really struggled. My mental health took a real tumble, and my mum and dad really struggled because they didn't know how to support me. I was at university and was really struggling there. I was at the age where all my friends were sort of moving out from home, getting their own places, getting their jobs. I had no idea what that my future held for me, because all the things I wanted had mapped out in my head all of a sudden just seemed unachievable.
It must have been a terrible shock.
It was hard. It was really hard. And then after about 2 years of struggling, I got in contact with the RNIB and had some sight loss counselling, which is really what I needed. I'd been to, if you will, normal counselling in inverted commas, like CBT counselling. But I was finding I was getting more and more frustrated by that counselling, because the counsellor was lovely, but I was getting frustrated because my counsellor could then leave that room, get in her car and drive off and do, and I couldn't. And I just was finding that I was really struggling with the concept of, actually, you've got no idea how I'm feeling, and you've got no experience of this. And that was actually making the situation worse. So I'd been referred to RNIB counselling, and that was like a turning point for me. I then got in contact with their employment team, and their they were called independent living coordinators who came and supported me so I could live independently. So I got my own house. They supported me with welfare benefits. They supported me with employment. And then sort of on that journey of sort of working with them, I realised that they're like these mythical creatures called Eclos that I didn't have access to at all. And I thought, goodness gracious, if I'd have had access to somebody at that point, so that when that consultant had said to me, Jenny, we're registering you, you know, partially sighted today, if I'd had somebody to talk to who could actually have explained that in more detail, explain to me what support was available, maybe it had taken some of that off me, in the sense of making the referrals, because my head was not in the right space to be accessing services, and I just went very insular into myself.
Was there no service didn't exist then at that stage? The eye clinic, the liaison officer?
No, there was nothing. The first bit of support I got was obviously we're going back a while now, Tim. So it was the old DB8s, and they were sent to the local authority sensory impairment team. So the first bit of support really I got was from a rehabilitation officer who contacted me to come and see me. But at that point, because I hadn't had the support in other ways, I just wasn't ready to accept it. Absolutely. I wasn't, my head wasn't in the right space to do that. But slowly and surely I did. And like I say, I got cane training. I then went on the waiting list for a guide dog. I got my first guide dog. And that was a big turning point for me, because absolutely, that gave me so much more independence. And I was able to realise that actually I could live independently, and I was able to do everything that my peers were doing. I just had to do it slightly differently and access it differently. And at that point, I decided I did want to be an eye clinic liaison officer. Didn't know how to get to it. There were no jobs in my area for it, but I kind of had it in my head that I wouldn't want somebody to go through.
You knew it was necessary.
The difficulties I went through. So I sort of went into the third sector in regards to supporting people with long-term health conditions and disabilities, and did an MVQ level 3 and 4 in advice and guidance. And it was actually when I was supporting one of my customers in a previous role that I saw the eye clinic liaison officer role advertised for East Lancashire. And obviously living in East Lancashire, I thought, that's got my name all over it. That's mine. And I've been in post now 4.5 years, and I I love it, Tim. I have the best job ever. That's brilliant. I love it.
So, and that's, is that funded by the RNIB then? I don't know exactly how that works.
Yeah, so the RNIB do fund them. I'm really fortunate that in East Lancashire, the commissioning team within East Lancashire are really pro ECLO. They really get the importance of having an eye clinic liaison officer within the trust. So we're fortunate that the trust, the CCG, actually fund the eye clinic liaison officer. But I am an RNIB employee.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is funded. But not all ECLOs. There are plenty of ECLOs up and down the country who are not funded by CCGs and that the RNIB fund.
Oh, right. Now, I think that leads me on to my next question. I've heard about a campaign for universal eye clinic liaison officers, and I think that's an RNIB campaign. Is that right? Can you tell me a bit about that?
Yes, so I was asked, over 12 months ago now, whether I wanted to participate in the campaign, and I did the filming for the TV advert and the voiceovers for the social media. So as you can imagine, I'm very pro ECLO. I understand the importance of having access to an eye clinic liaison officer at the point of diagnosis and the point of need. So I jumped at the chance, and I'm really proud that we've been able to raise awareness of the importance of having an eye clinic liaison officer, especially over the last 2 years with the pandemic. It's been really difficult for patients accessing eye care services, and having that support. I'm really, chuffed and yeah. proud and really pleased to be part of that Life Changes campaign that the RNIB have been running over the past 12 months.
So is there a way that other people can support that?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a few ways that that people can support that. There's plenty, if people are on Facebook, they can go on the RNIB Facebook page and they can see all about it on there, or the RNIB website. I keep popping up on people's tellies throughout the day.
Excellent.
In between reruns of Coronation Street and Midsummer Murders, according to my grandma. there are plenty that you can text. There's different text numbers for different amounts, and they've changed those recently. But you can get all the information if listeners want to go to www.rnib.org.uk. They can donate to support the Life Changes appeal.
Brilliant.
On there.
And presumably, if they phone up the helpline.
Absolutely, they can ring the helpline. That contact telephone number is 0303 123 9999. And if they speak to somebody on the helpline and just say, "I'd like to donate to the Life Changes appeal," they'll be able to sort that for them. That's not a problem at all.
Brilliant. And well, that's a really good way to wind up the interview, actually. Is there anything else that you think I've missed, or you'd like to feed in at this point?
I think it's really important that anybody who knows somebody who is experiencing sight loss, or they're experiencing sight loss themselves, not to, feel alone or to feel that there's no support, because there is. They can call the helpline, which is the number, the 0303 123 9999. You can access an eye clinic liaison officer if you haven't got one of those in your local eye clinic. Contact the helpline and we'll be able to support them. There is so much support out there. It's just knowing where to start. So it's really important if people are needing support, that if they reach out to us, we'll be there to help them.
And as Jenny mentioned, you can contact the RNIB helpline to request support or make donations. And the phone number again is 0303 123 9999. It's 0303 123 9999.